Valley for the first time in Australia, a true metal festival for the fans. To celebrate the first Australian Download Festival, Triple M's Ugly Phil chats to Tom Morello from Prophets of Rage, Joel Madden from Good Charlotte, and Korn's very own Jonathan Davis. Let's turn this up to 12.
Australia's been missing out on a heavy metal festival for some time, but the Download Festival is about to finally arrive on our shores, bringing with it some huge international acts. Originating in the UK, the Download Festival has a worldwide reputation for hosting the very best in heavy music. If you're heading to Flemington Racecourse in Melbourne on March 24, you can look forward to seeing the likes of Korn, Prophets of Rage, Limp Bizkit, Mastodon, Suicidal Tendencies, Good Charlotte, NOFX, and loads more. So for this special catch-up, I'll be talking to some of these acts, including Jonathan Davis from Korn.
I would see Donington because I'm an old man.
Joel Madden from Good Charlotte.
I would love to go on stage with Limp Bizkit.
And I'll have the inside information from a Download Festival programmer. But first, you're not going to want to miss this super group featuring the likes of Chuck D from Public Enemy, Be Real from Cypress Hill, and Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine. It's Prophets of Rage. And I had a great chat with Tom Morello, and I was telling him that this is the first time Australia's been home to a Download Festival.
I didn't know. I've played Download Festivals in other places in the world, so looking forward to doing it down there.
Yeah, of course, in Donington in the UK, it's a staple for the metal and hard rock crowd. Would you have played with Rage?
No, we played Prophets of Rage this year. Rage maybe played it as well, but we rocked that one. I think we rocked French Download as well. It's always a great festival, and we're looking forward to it.
Of course, it's going to be great to see you here. I just want to cover some ground that we spoke about when we last had a chat, too, for the uninitiated. So with this band, did you have an idea of the players that you wanted to get involved, any kind of wish list before you went into the project?
Oh, yeah, the wish list is the band. Yeah. You know, it was during the 2016 election here, and I saw on CNN News there was a headline that said, Donald Trump rages against the machine. I said, oh, hell no. And, you know, I sarcastically tweeted about it. I sat bolt upright in the middle of the night and said, the world is not going to fix itself by tweeting. Like, we got to bring out the big guns. And, you know, called up Timmy and Brad, called up Chuck and Lord, called up Be Real and said, what do you guys think?
Yeah.
And Prophets of Rage was born. Dangerous times demand dangerous songs, and, you know, that's why we formed this band.
Of course, and I totally agree with you. And, of course, Chuck D would be coming at it from a different angle as well, but obviously with the same, you know, intentions in mind.
Sure. And think about P.E. and Cypress Hill, those were the two principal hip-hop influences on Rage Against the Machine, both musically and lyrically. They're our favorite MCs, and we, you know, have a long history of working together and playing shows together. It was a natural. Now, having said that, while it looked great on paper to have Rage Against the Machine, Public Enemy, and Cypress Hill, you know, in one band, it took quite some time, months of practicing in secret in the San Fernando Valley here near Los Angeles, to forge a chemistry that was, for this band, to find its authentic footing. Once we did, it was pretty great, but it took months of figuring it out.
So what were the difficulties initially in trying to bring the particular styles together?
Our intention was to rageify the catalogs of Public Enemy and Cypress Hill, and then to have Dee and Chuck, you know, tackle the Rage Against the Machine catalog. You know, and none of that, all that sounds great on paper, but you get in a room, and Tim and Brad, I had never played with a DJ before. And, like, I remember the first day we were, like, trying to play Bring the Noise, and Lord was playing something, and we were, like, losing the beat. I'm like, oh, boy, I don't know if this is going to work out.
Yeah, of course, right.
But, like, with anything else, it's like we were determined to find, like, how do these, with any band, it's like, how do the people in that room succeed in making something compelling? And we worked at it. We chipped away at it. And it wasn't actually till right before we played our first show ever was at the Whiskey in L.A. And a couple of days before, Shepard Fairey, you know, the artist Shepard Fairey came down who did the art for our albums. And it was the first time we ever had an audience. Like, it was just one guy, but it's like, and all of a sudden it just clicked. It was like, oh, this is how we play in front of people. We don't worry anymore about the pre-chorus or the this, that. So it's like, now it's time to perform these songs. And from there, it's been pretty amazing. I mean, the journey of this band is so crazy. We have the gravitas of our histories, but we're also a brand new band with a chip on our shoulder to go out every night and prove ourselves like when we were teenagers.
Of course, well, there's never been a greater time than right now to have a chip on your shoulder. Although I've noticed that, especially with, you know, the liberals and anybody who has left-leaning opinions, if you have that, it seems in America right now, and I'll use Colin Kaepernick as an example, that you're unpatriotic, that you're un-American because you have an opinion that is different to what the right-wing opinion should be.
Yeah, exactly. There's this co-optation of what it means to be American that has to be, you know, pro-military and anti-poor people. people, et cetera. You know, and like, honestly, that is why we formed this band, is because there's so much dissatisfaction in the United States and around the world. You see, like, so the rise of right-wing and anti-immigrant groups in Europe as well, that it's the easy answers offered by right-wing racist demagogues.
Mm.
Right-wing racist demagogues are ones that we had to fight against. We had to say, like, you know, we're dissatisfied with the status quo as well, but the answer is not that Muslims are the problem or that Mexicans are the problem or that the rich don't have big enough tax breaks. That's not the problem. The problem is that the people who own and control this planet don't deserve to. They're running it into the abyss. And if it's going to change, it's going to take you and me and your listeners to do it.
But what I don't get is the fact that they try to pass these bills, like this tax bill that they're trying to pass, which is so obviously going to benefit the billionaires and to, you know, for the disenfranchised are the ones who are going to benefit the least from this. And yet there's still this rah, rah, rah mentality.
That's correct. I mean, and that's it's over the course of the last, you know, 25, 30 years where right-wing radio is like stirs up the racism and this kind of unnuanced Americanism to convince those people to vote against their interests.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. You know, it's as simple as that.
If you had Donald Trump in your audience, would you try and reason with him?
I would say I would just invite him to get in the mosh pit and let nature take its course.
Okay, I want to talk to you about, if I can, some of the people that you've played with. And the reason why I want to mention this is you've had Chuck D, of course, you've had Zach, you've had Chris, you've had some amazing vocalists. I went back the other day and I had the isolated vocals of Chris Cornell's singing. And to me, that guy's voice was just incredible. The octaves,
yeah,
you know.
He's the greatest. Yeah. He's the greatest. Yeah. You know, he's one of the greatest songwriters and singers and rock gods in the history of rock and roll music, you know?
Yeah.
It was his band Soundgarden that really laid the framework for what became grunge and was, you know, part of the burgeoning alternative movement. He was really the first one, you know, maybe along with Jane's Addiction, but like the first one to combine unapologetic heavy metal riffs with intellectual poetry.
Yeah.
And that wasn't a thing before. You either had to choose kind of smart punk rock or devils and hookers heavy metal.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
You know, and for people like me who loved the rock but also had thoughts about things, it was like, oh my gosh, like, Andy sang like that. Andy looked like that.
Yeah, of course, that's it.
That is quite a compelling package right there.
And I think he mentioned to me when I was talking to him once, one of the producers who said to him, why don't you try out with Audioslave, you know, what became Audioslave? Because he said he'd seen Rage at a Big Day Out show and he really liked the backbeats that you guys were playing as well. Took a little bit of convincing for him to actually get involved in the project, I believe.
Chris is a mysterious person. There's a little bit of kind of Count Dracul in him. You know, we drive up to this, it was this lonely mountain. It's exactly where you would imagine Chris Cornell. It's like a lonely mountain, and there's a bunch of motorcycles around, and this tall, gangling figure, you know, comes out the door. And I remember Rick and I were in the car, and we see Chris, like, the door sort of open without anyone touching them, and this kind of mysterious figure comes out, and Rick turns to me and goes, let's get the fuck out of here. Like we're in, like before it gets dark.
Yeah.
But anyway, Chris was also a sweetheart of a guy and like a really lovely, caring person, family member, friend, and you know his loss is it's so tragic. And but you know we have his great and enduring catalog of music to help. Help with the pain.
Yeah, fantastic musician. Well, I can't wait to see you. I'm obviously not going to get too close to the stage when you're on stage, just in case.
Yeah, well, no, don't worry. We have a no kicking punters in the face policy in the band. We'll try to maintain that when we get down there.
Can I recommend a couple of Australian bands for you as well? I don't know if you've ever heard of King Parrot. They're from Melbourne.
No, but I'll check it out.
Yeah, King Parrot are one. And the other one, also a Melbourne band called Clowns. They're also playing. You're doing a couple of side shows too, I think.
Yeah, we're doing a couple of side shows as well. Really looking forward to it. You know, like I said, like I've had so much fun down there. You know, it's great shows with Springsteen and Audioslave and Rage and my Night Watchman shows. It's like it's a place on the planet where such great fans and enduring fans, you know, sort of through the years, and we're really looking forward to coming down there with Prophets.
Tom Morello from Prophets of Rage there. I can't wait to see them. They're going to do a couple of side shows as well. Don't miss Prophets of Rage. And Good Charlotte are part of the lineup for this year's Download Festival. I had a chat with Joel from the band as he was driving around LA getting ready for the festival.
I'm actually driving over to the west side right now. I was in Burbank, and now I'm driving over to, like, Santa Monica.
What music do you listen to in the car when you're driving around?
I listen to really angry, heavy music, like Bring Me the Horizon, Architect, really aggressive, heavy stuff.
Yeah, excellent.
I also like Amnesty Affliction.
Yeah, Australian band.
Like, I like a lot of the heavy, the newer heavy bands, you know. I like that stuff. I like it because you can feel in the music, there's really, like, no rules for any of them. They all kind of just do whatever they want. I really feel that, like, those bands are not really beholden to anybody.
Yeah.
And so on all the records, they all just try different stuff, and I'm a huge fan of all that.
Who are you looking forward to seeing most at this festival?
You know, I'm really excited about the whole festival. Limp Bizkit, Mastodon, NoFX. I mean, the whole lineup really is like, I mean, Neck Deep, we're doing some shows with them after the festival. First of all, excited about the lineup, but also for us to be able to play with heavy bands and heavier bands is always exciting because early in our career, we didn't get to as much as we do now, and so we really enjoy it.
And is there any band in particular that you, if you had the chance, you'd like to join on stage?
I would love to go on stage with Limp Bizkit. I love Limp Bizkit. I'm excited to see them. I love Mastodon, and I love the guys in Mastodon. I'm probably too shy to go on stage with another band because I am literally not good at singing any music other than my own. It's the only music that I can actually pull off. So I don't even know if I would, if I had the balls to get on stage with anyone. But Suicidal Tendencies, I've never seen them ever, so excited to, probably just going to be standing out and watching bands that day.
Yeah, maybe you can get on with Suicidal Tendencies and do My Machete. I'd like to hear that.
You know, it would definitely be a little dream come true, but I'd probably chicken out.
You spent a lot of time in Australia. In fact, when you come down here next, will you be bringing the family with you?
I have spent a lot of time in Australia, and it is kind of like second home. I definitely feel at home, especially in Sydney, where I spent most of my time. I don't know if I'm bringing my family on this trip, but we are coming down later this year just for a vacation, planning it out right now, because a lot of my dear friends are in Sydney, and I haven't been actually back to Australia in, it's probably been almost 2 years.
Well, listen, it's great to talk to you. Can't wait to see you when you get back.
Hey, thanks a lot, dude. Have a great day.
You're listening to our Download Festival catch-up. And coming up, I'll be talking to Jonathan Davis from Korn, the headliners. Let's go behind the scenes and find out what it takes to build a festival like this. And I spoke to Download Festival programmer Nigel Melder. I wanted to know if he had a wish list of bands he wanted.
We did. And, you know, a lot of it comes down to, obviously, you know, availability. We actually got most of the acts that we went for.
The good thing about this festival is that you've got bands who haven't played in ages, and one of the most important bands at the moment, Prophets of Rage, that's a real great get.
Yeah, it looks really exciting they're coming. I caught them at Download overseas last year, and the set was huge. I mean, the band sounds amazing. You know, with that band and how solid they are and how strong they are, and Tom Morello and that guitar sound and the drums and the bass.
That's right. And the great thing about Download is you've got a lot of crossover as well, which you'll have with Suicidal Tendencies, who are going to fulfill the metal punk fraternity. It's for the metal fans. And if you can get somebody like Mastodon, who, you know, people wouldn't be able to see in Australia as part of a really amazing metal lineup, that's going to certainly fulfill that side of the metal fans too.
It's great to have acts of that caliber coming out and playing.
And this is great that you've got the hardcore fraternity taken care of with Make Them Suffer and also King Parrot.
There's Australian acts there they're touring overseas and they deliver and they can, you know, keep up with the best of them. But, you know, there's other stuff for the hardcore fans as well. I mean, having Nails in Australia for the first time.
Yeah, another great Australian band are Clowns. Who would you recommend to people, bands that people may not have heard of?
Sabaton's such a massive act in Europe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Growing in the States, and they definitely have a legion of fans here.
And the great thing about festivals is you have a great opportunity to go and grab some food, and I love how you're going to satisfy your appetite for degustation. And one of the things I notice you've got is Hell's Kitchen. Tell us about the food.
We wanted to go into this and make sure that people have a great selection of food on the day, because I think the festival, you know, landscape is changing. You know, people are expecting more on the day, and I think people don't just want to be served up the usual. We kind of looked at it. We put together this specialised burger world where we've got people from different businesses and different cities all coming down. It's virtually like a burger competition. Really, the punters are the ones who are going to win. There's going to be all the usual vendors at a festival. I mean, if you want a dag with dog or potato on a stick, you'll get that.
Yep.
But if you want to eat something different, or if you're vegan or vegetarian, there's going to be multiple options there as well. You know, and people need to stay hydrated. It's a long day, and I think you just sort of got to take care of yourself.
Where are you going to be on the day? You're going to be backstage?
You know what? I'm going to try and spend most of my day just roaming from stage to stage. I want to make sure that, you know, what we're put on on looks right and feels right and having that punter experience.
And what about the mosh pit etiquette? How's that going to go down?
I think a lot of people are really good at looking out for people.
Yeah.
I think if someone's doing the wrong thing, it seems like there's a lot more people that are pretty quick to step in and be like, hey, you need to pull your head in. Heavy rock and metal, it's such a strong world where it runs generations deep. It's all about having a drink and watching bands and grabbing some joy and just enjoying yourself.
Great to talk to you, mate. Can't wait for Download, the first one, and may there be many more.
There will be more.
Great to hear. We'll have more Download festivals to look forward to in the future. This is a special catch-up for Australia's first ever Download Festival with me, Ugly Phil. I was talking to Jonathan Davis from Korn about how the Download Festival is known as being one of the heaviest music festivals in the world.
Yeah, it's definitely up there. It's in the top, I think, five at least. You know, Rock and Ring and Park and Donington, or I always say Donington because I'm an old man. I mean, Download.
And so this being Australia's first Download, a lot of people don't know what to expect, and I guess the same thing with you. Did you have a look through the other people on the lineup?
Yeah. It's going to be good.
Yeah. In fact, I don't know if you've seen any Prophets of Rage, but I mean, they look like somebody that'd be really worth having a look at.
Yeah, I mean, I like that. I like that, the whole project. I love Rage, and I love Be Real and Chuck D, so I think it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, of course.
Don't necessarily, I'm looking forward to seeing them live.
You've got your own solo stuff, which is, you know, a side thing to Korn, but will you try and do any of your solo stuff with Korn as well to see how that flies on stage?
No, that's totally separate. We got 12 references worth of and I don't got time to around with that.
Yeah, of course. No, that's it.
We want to knock them over the head, but we got our hits and the things that we do, and that's what we're planning on doing.
Now, I'm led to believe that you've been working on the next album. How close are we from a new album? And I believe that you've actually got a studio on the bus.
We're in the process of writing right now. I mean, the guy's going to be here tomorrow. The next day, we're going to start writing with me over here at our studio in Bakersfield. We're just in the middle of just getting into it, so I don't know what it's going to turn into, but that's just part of the process. We go through writing, and these songs turn into different things, and it's dope. I love it. I'm really excited for it, though.
Of course. People say that Korn are a really difficult band to mix.
All the low end. When you start getting low end like that, because we're tuned down so low, and all the low end, it starts to muddy up, and it's really challenging to carve out places for you to hear notes in the guitars and the bass and give hole for where I can keep my vocals. It's a challenge to keep it from being so muddy.
Right.
Just too much, yeah, because we're more low end. I mean, with traditional metal bands, it's like you're tuned in E, and it's all mid-range right there, so that's a little bit easier than what we do.
Well, let's talk about your stuff. I mean, I believe that you personally want to do as much stuff and be as hands-on with this record as possible. How will it be a departure from the sound that Korn do in the studio?
It's completely different. I mean, I'm not trying to do, I always play the joke, I'm not trying to do Steve Perry and do another Perry.
Well, thank you for that.
It's completely different than Korn. It's more of a hybrid of world music and synth pop, and I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. It's very gothic and dark. It's like, the only thing I can compare it to is, we've heard the single, there's that, but like with my Queen of the Damned stuff that I did back in the early 2000s, it's just a more dark, different thing.
Yeah.
It's nothing like Korn.
So, with Queen of the Damned in mind, is it sort of quite atmospheric and quite soundtracky?
Yep, perfect.
Great, okay.
It is. But it's still rock. It's its own thing. I don't know how to explain. You guys got to hear it, and we'll have stuff out soon for people to hear.
Sure. And so when you're writing the music for stuff like this in this particular style, do you think of the music visually as opposed to thinking of the sound sonically, if that makes sense?
No, I just write. I don't think. Write and let it be. And then I use a lot of samples and stuff, and then I come back, and then I have real players do it. So everything on this record that I did, they're all real instruments. I mean, when I wrote them, they were samples, but I had players actually come in and like play a duke or play tablas and or sitar. Or different Japanese lutes, like called a biwa. There's just all kinds of different instruments that are on my palette that I can use, and I do this with samples, and then they come in and play them live.
Wow, that's fantastic! So you're open to any kind of world music instrumentation.
Yeah, man, it's that's why I want to make something timeless. When you use stuff like that, you can't date that. These instruments have been around hundreds of years, so it's pretty cool. I'm really proud of it.
Yeah,
and I've done tons of projects. I got more in the pipeline, but I wanted to do the one that I started on first, and that was over 2 years ago, and this one's coming out, and it's beautiful, and I'm really proud of it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're in your 20s, 30s, you're still a kid.
Yeah.
Clearly, you're still trying to figure it out. You start getting a little bit of wisdom when you get in your 40s, and I think it shows when you're songwriting, when you're doing that, you become more mature, and things make a little bit more sense.
So when you're over here, I know you do some DJing under the name of J-Devil. If you get the opportunity, will you do any DJing at any clubs or anything, if that turns up?
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I stopped doing that. I did it. It was fun back in, I started in 2010, 11, 12. It was fun. It was an amazing experience, but now I'm off doing this.
Yeah, of course.
It was fun.
I do DJing so I can go to a club and play music that I want to hear.
Exactly. I mean, I did that too, but I started DJing was like 16 for a local sound company here, so I was doing it a long time ago. For me, I mean,
in the music, it's a total different scene now. Back then, it was like being a turntablist and learning how to scratch, transform.
Yep.
I did all that, but I was like spinning New York freestyle music from the 80s, and that was my thing. So, I mean, I could do that, but kids, they don't understand it. They don't know it. I have to play for older people.
It's going to be fun to see you at Download. If you had the opportunity to, you know, jump on a stage with any of the other bands at Download, anybody in particular that you'd like to get on there with?
I really don't jump stages.
Yeah.
I don't want it. I got to do my set. I'm out.
Yeah.
It's all good. But I'll be definitely checking out Prophet. I like them. I can't wait to see them.
Man, that's it. Awesome. Great to talk to you. I'm looking forward to seeing when you get down here.
Definitely, but I'll see you then.
Jonathan Davis from Korn there. I can't wait to get to the Download Festival. And if you're going, we'd love to hear your reviews. You can contact me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Ugly Phil. And you can check out the full lineup and set times at downloadfestival.com.au. Hey, thanks for listening.
You may find this a bit disturbing.
He held me.
Go!
Ugly Phil on Triple M.